Right? All right, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. We are going to get into the doctrine of baptisms, all right? And really understand, we're going to go through. We're going to start with the baptism with fire, all right? But what that is and explain the truth of that. But in Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible states that these are the first principles. They're very important that you and I understand the first principles, all right? And a lot of people don't know these. All right, a lot of people don't have a clue about what they even are, but there are such a thing as first principles and things that are important. We talk about the fundamentalist movement, and they don't follow the first principles. So many of them don't anyway. Some of them probably do, but most of them don't today. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So from Hebrews 5 all the way, or from all the way through, he's been teaching the doctrines and the principles of Christ, of the doctrine of Christ. Okay. By the way, what was that he taught? That Jesus is God. That's what he taught, right? That he taught that Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, he's teaching Jesus is God, right? Thy throne, about his throne being a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thy throne, O God, right? He says that's what the Father says. What's that? That's right. Exactly. That's right. So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. By the way, let me back up and say this too about the doctrine of Christ. What the book of Hebrews teaches us is Christ above all. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews. Christ above all. Christ better than all. Christ better than Moses. Christ better than the law. Christ better than the angels. Christ better. Christ is God. That's what that teaches. Those are the doctrines. Those are the principles of Christ. If you don't have those down, you can't even make it to Hebrews chapter 6 to be concerned with anything else. You've got to have that down. You've got to understand the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Who Christ is. This is a reason to separate from people. If they don't know who Christ is, they are not saved, and if they preach against Christ being God, then they are heretics, and they're to be rejected. If they're preaching a oneness or whatever that denies the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then they are heretics, and we're not to have any part with them. That's understanding the doctrine of Christ, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So they're not allowed to have. That's why you don't receive them into your house. Neither bid them Godspeed. Right. All right. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again. So he's saying, not backing up here, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Right. That's repentance of dead works. Works don't save you. Right. You got to repent of that. You're not going to be born again if you think works are going to save you. Repentance from dead works. And why? Because all works before you saved are dead. All works are dead. Right? And of faith toward God, right? Paul talked about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us now. Help us, Lord, to understand this great truth here today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now, this is what I believe the apostle is talking about when he talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. He is talking about you being able to take the scriptures and understand them and not take them out of context, but look at them and understand in the context in which they're written and understand. So people say, well, what do you mean the doctrine of baptisms? I thought there's only one baptism. No. Although we Baptists often get accused of only seeing water when we look at the scriptures, that's not true. We just understand where water is in the scriptures as far as water baptism goes. It doesn't save you, right? But we understand that there is water baptism, and it is the one baptism for today. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's not two baptisms, it's one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism for right now. Amen? For right now. So, anyway, so we're gonna do that. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 10. To finish that verse out while you're turning there, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. Oh, we don't like those, do we? Oh, no. That denotes some authority there. We don't want to talk about that. And of the resurrection of the dead. And of the end of eternal judgment. Well, you see what I mean? If you don't, hey, listen, you can't understand the first principles at all Absolutely not at all. You're not even on the same page, and you are not qualified to be a teacher if you don't believe in eternal judgment.
Amen.
Get off of close down your YouTube page. You're headed for destruction. You don't even understand eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Right? It's really scary how many men set themselves up to be teachers with no qualifications at all. No one's examined them, no qualifications, and all these people flock to them. That's right. It's very, yeah, teachers after their own lust, right? All right, Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 10. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right. There's your first clue there. Something is hewn down and is cast in the fire. If it's unfruitful, it is hewn down and is cast in the fire. We also understand that good trees bring forth good fruit, right? And those that are saved are good ground. And what do they produce? Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Good ground never produces. Good ground always produces something. Some good fruit. There's never, you can never say with a Christian that they have no fruit, no good fruit. Then they're not a Christian. Then they're not born again. Right? Because they must have good fruit. Because every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. Right? An evil tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. We're talking about not the outward looks of man, but what God says is fruit in His Word. All right? But follow me here, okay? So they're cast into the fire, right? It says here, not good forth. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right, so then he goes on, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not talking about that today, but possibly Wednesday, I don't know. But we are going to talk about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. But I want to just keep this in your mind so you can understand this and remember this phrase. With the Holy Ghost is not the same as by the Holy Ghost or in one body, okay? That's not the same thing. Right, or of, right. This says very clearly that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. All right, so who's the baptizer? Jesus. And he baptizes with who? The Holy Ghost. And he also baptizes with fire. Doesn't say baptism of fire. It says baptized with fire. Do you understand that? Words mean something. All right? You've got to take every word there and you've got to go through those. And we're going to go through some of those when we talk about baptized with the Holy Ghost, possibly on Wednesday. You've got to understand these doctrines of baptisms. There's so many people that have these so messed up today because they don't do word for word on these things and understand the context, what they are, that they automatically equate this with salvation. They automatically equate this with being saved. Okay? And they don't understand what's going on or what's being said. Or they automatically, like the charismatic movement does, which we're going to talk about today, that is a baptism of fire. I watched probably three videos. I'm going to show you about 2 minutes, brother, at the end of this sermon. I'm going to show you 2 minutes. And bear with me. I know it's not fun to watch this stuff. I had to search through to find something clean that wasn't, you know, defiling or anything like that when these charismatics jumping all around and acting like a bunch of psychotic, devil-possessed, well, which they are. But anyway, I found the tamest one I could find, but shows and illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. They built a whole doctrine off of nothing. And they've impartation, right? Devils. Okay? And it's very important you understand this because we do not accept charismatic doctrine here. We absolutely refuse it. If you got baptized in a charismatic church, we don't accept it here. We will not accept it here. We cannot accept it here, right? We just cannot. It's another spirit. It's another gospel, and we're very clear about that. All right, so we're going to get into this here. He says, I baptize you. He says, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, it's vitally important that we understand the doctrine of baptisms. We are told, being historical Baptists, that, you know, all you guys do is talk about water. You think everything's water baptism. No. Paul clearly said there's doctrine of baptisms. So this is where you need to write. My hyper-dispensational brethren, some of them are brethren, they seem to think that they know how to rightly divide the word of truth. However, they don't rightly divide the baptisms that are in Scripture. They really do mess up in those areas. And they don't do what, for being most of them being strong King James, they do not take the King's English and look at it very purely and say, hey, listen, this is what's being said here. And that's what we have to do. And all of us can be in danger of that and are at times when we don't follow the Scriptures all the way through. So we need to be careful about that. All right. So I want to show you here the baptism in the Bible. And we're going to teach through this doctrine of baptism. But we're going to start first with this baptism with fire. This doctrine has been perverted by many in the charismatic movement to mean something that it does not mean. I mean, I watch so many videos where these people are calling down this baptism of fire and they're doing, and I'm going to show you. But you know what? It's very dangerous. This is very, you're begging for the judgment of God. They think it's an anointing and a power from God. No, it's not. It's strange fire. And it's wicked. It's absolutely wicked. I'm going to show you that, what he says here, and be very clear about that. This doctrine has been perverted by them. Very dangerous teachings that I believe can impart some spiritual danger and demonic activity upon the recipient. And we're going to show very plainly the baptism of fire in the Scriptures. All right. So let's go. Number one here. What is the baptism with fire? With fire. The baptism with fire is a baptism of judgment and damnation. That's what it is. It is a baptism of judgment and damnation. I believe from the Scriptures that it is full immersion into hell. I believe that's what it is. And I believe you're going to see. And that baptism is going to take place at the end when they are completely immersed in that lake of fire. You think about that. Are they going to be completely immersed? That's what baptism is. It's in a lake. They're going to the lake. Just like you go down to the lake or the river to get baptized or wherever there's a body of water. What doth hinder me? Well, nothing's going to hinder them. They are going to be cast into that judgment of fire. It is a judgment of fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 10. Our first clue is this. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. All right, now that doesn't sound like this wonderful, glorious anointing from God that gives out power to preach the word of God and cause you to be able to tap people on the forehead and run around and Benny hit him right in the head and everything. That doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's the judgment of God, and it is. That baptism of fire that all these people are praying, you don't want to pray for that baptism of fire. My goodness. That's right. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, and he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now notice verse number 12. Verse number 12 gives you another clue here. Remember, we have to go Scripture for Scripture. The word fire, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly, I got it, brother. I corrected it, right? Truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Uh-oh, wait a minute now. Oh, and now we're going to look, we have to look at a few things. We have to look at fire, and then we certainly have to look at the word unquenchable. We have to look at both of those to understand that. Okay, so the word fire is used 83 times in the New Testament. And in the vast majority of instances, it refers to judgment by fire in hell. In only one verse is fire used in connection with the Holy Spirit's ministration to save people in this present life. And that is the cloven tongues like as of fire. But that's not a baptism or an immersion of fire. It's not unquenchable fire because the fire wasn't still there. Right? As of fire. That's right. Those words are very important. Like as of fire. But this is a baptism with fire. See the difference? That's right. To claim that the verse is a fulfillment, to claim that Acts chapter 2, verse number 3 is a fulfillment of the baptism with fire of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, is to ignore the plain context of that passage, and it is also to ignore the consistent biblical usage of fire as a term of judgment. Fire is primarily used as judgment, and it was never pretty. We see here in verse number 10 that every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cast into the fire. So he is comparing good trees bringing forth good fruit and bad trees bringing forth bad fruit. Some will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which was fulfilled, by the way, which we'll talk about another day. It was fulfilled. It's already fulfilled. And I'll show you the instances it was fulfilled. Amen. And others with fire. John explains it in this following verse, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This could not be clearer. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise for the believer. All right, it happened. It was fulfilled at that time. It was for his church, I believe. While the baptism with fire is a warning for the unbeliever and refers to the day when Christ will return and will punish unbelievers with everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66, please. All right, let's go there. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 15 and 16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Hey, you know, we ought to mark this down. You know why? This is good street preaching verse right here. It's real good street preaching. When Jesus comes back, when God comes back, friend, you better be careful. You better not be on this side of it, that's for sure, this side of that judgment. What's it say here? It says here again, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. That's judgment, friend. That's the judgment of God. How about Malachi? Yeah, what's that? Go ahead, brother. Amen. What's that? Judgment. That's right. Judgment. That's the baptism with fire. Okay? You don't want the baptism with fire. All right? Malachi chapter 3, verse number 2 says this. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he was like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers. And against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, and the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside from the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So he goes through and he talks about what he's going to do. And then look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Right? Yeah, that is. What's that? Remember when it talked about the trees? Right? Cast into the fire. But unto you that fear my name, look at this. There's that geocentrist verse right there, right? Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Amen. All right. That's right. The sun do move. That's right. Amen. That's right. All right. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Turn there, please. I'll give you quite a few references here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I think it's... Let's see if I got it right. Oh, is it 2 Thessalonians? Okay, my notes. Okay, thank you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. He's going to destroy him. They're going to burn up. Right? They're going to burn up with it. That's just going to happen. That ought to be very fearful for people. It ought to be very fearful. What's that? No, 2 Thessalonians. Yep, that was right. Yep, I don't know why my notes said that, but they did, so I was wrong. Anyway, but they're going to be consumed with the brightness of His coming, right? He's going to destroy them with the brightness of His coming. Praise God. That's going to happen one day. And then obviously we see at the end the fire that's going to be on that. And the Lord's going to melt the earth with fervent heat. Sounds like He's going to consume them. Amen? Sounds like that's what He's going to do. The Scriptures warn that the baptism of fire is eternal torment. And praise God that because of the blood of Christ, no true Christian will ever be baptized with fire. Amen. He's going to burn up the bad trees with unquenchable fire. Now, let's look at that word unquenchable. Turn to Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. Something that is not quenched is unquenchable, right? So look at this. Mark chapter 9, verse number 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell and to the fire that never shall be quenched. What's that word? Unquenchable. Never shall be quenched, right? That fire's not going to be quenched. It'll never be satisfied. It'll never be over, right? For their worm where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. We find unquenchable fire where? In hell. We don't find that as a good thing. We don't want the baptism with fire. It is the baptism in hell. It's fully merged in the lake of fire for all of eternity. We know, we understand that the unquenchable fire is the fires of hell. So we can start to identify just what baptism with fire is. It is a baptism of judgment and damnation. That's what it is. Now we find some other interesting terms found in the Scriptures right around that. The word chaff, right? Right? This gives us another clue as to what the baptism of fire is all about. It says that chaff is going to be what? Burn up, right? It's going to be burn up. So look at Psalms 1, verse 4. Watch what it says here in your Bible. Psalms chapter 1, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Right? What happens? It's going to burn up, right? Not a good thing. We don't want that, do we? We don't want to be that. The ungodly are like the chaff, right? They're going to burn away. They're going to be burned. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 24. Look here. It says it again here. Give you a perfect example again of it. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their bosom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. What do we have here? We have them, the flame consuming it, consuming the chaff, right? The flame consuming the chaff, right? There we have that. Isaiah chapter 33, verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 10. Again, the same thing, around the same thing, understanding what the chaff is. It's not something good. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, so ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. So again, there's the fire, there's the chaff. Not a good thing. Not good. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Not good. Right? Not good at all. Hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? That'll give you a clue. Everlasting burnings? That doesn't mean it's burned up and it's gone. It's everlasting burnings. Right? That's the baptism with fire. in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That chaff is burned up in the fire. It's not the baptism that you want. You don't want the baptism with fire. So Jesus is saying here they would either be baptized with the Holy Ghost or with fire. That's right. With unquenchable fire. In this and in other places that we talked about, the future sufferings of the wicked is taught in the Bible. He shows no kindness to his neighbor, no friendship toward mankind, who conceals the terror of the Lord, said one preacher. These terrors are set forth in no uncertain terms. Many believe that God will restore the wicked and eventually save all the human race. Others hold that God will annihilate the wicked and thus end their torment. But this passage and the one cited in Mark would be hard to reconcile with either of these views. They indicate that there will be no arrest of judgment, nor stay of punishment when once God begins to execute his condemnation. God purged the world with water at the time of the flood. He will again purge it with fire on the day of judgment. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Talks about where in verse number 6, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Right? But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Amen. So you think about that. The chaff is being altogether worthless, was burned. And what other end can the wicked hope for in that day? Can they suppose that after all the labor that has been bestowed upon them and bestowed in vain, they shall meet with the same favor as the grain by which the labor's toil has been repaid? No. Can it be hoped that there shall be no difference put between those who have served their God and those who serve him not? No. For them is a fire prepared, and happy would it be for them if they might be consumed by it speedily like chaff. But though ever burning, they will never be consumed. They themselves will be as imperishable as the fire is unquenchable. To all eternity will they endure the justly merited wrath of an avenging God. Then shall be fulfilled in them the prediction of the prophet Malachi. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And that day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. The worm, their worm, it's their conscience, their worm, never goes away. Right, exactly. It's literal fire. That's right. That's right. It is so plain. So very plain. Plain. They shall never die, and the fire that shall torment them shall never be quenched. Never be satisfied, but continual, everlasting burnings. Don't listen to false prophets that tell you that is not everlasting torment. Because just as everlasting life is everlasting life, everlasting flames is everlasting flames. We don't get to change the words, the meaning of the words. It's not how it works. That's right. No, it'll be upon them forever. All right. So now we're going to look at, I think it's pretty safe to see from the scriptures that baptism with fire is judgment. is the judgment. And that will be in the end, because we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism right now. That baptism, that final baptism of fire, will be in the end. Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? That's not for now. The baptism for now is baptism in water. Amen? That's the baptism for now. All right? We'll talk about the other ones later. But now we want to move on and see number two or number three. I can't remember what number I'm on. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We see the charismatic counterfeit fire. I want to talk to you about that. You can go ahead and get that ready. It's going to be a little bit of time, but if you need to get it ready or whatever, because that's all the way at the end, which I'm not sure how long it's going to take me to get through some of this, but, you know, a little while. So, okay. Sure. Okay, sounds good. All right, because I want to show you an example right at the end of this. I want to show you an example. Okay, it'll be, I want you to understand that, what's that? Okay, that's fine. I want you to understand what I'm talking about here, and it's best to give you a visual aid of it, and it's only going to be like a minute and a half long or 2 minutes or something. It's not real long. But I want to show you what they're doing, and by the way, it's very demonic, and that's why you and I must stand against the charismatic movement completely. We must stand by. And I'm going to show you, and it's vexing, just like it was when we walked through crowds, but I tried to pick the best one that I could pick out of that Aaron helped me get gathered together so we could get the best one that's not too over the top. And it's over the top enough. So anyway, we'll get to that in a second here. But I want to explain to you this counterfeit fire that the charismatics teach. And Elijah called down. So they talk about this, okay? Elijah called down fire from heaven, and it was a judgment upon the prophets of Baal. But most of the time we see what they do. They really don't believe. They believe that that's some kind of anointing power that is for us to do. Well, when Christ said, you don't know what manner of spirits ye are of, we're not supposed to. That's not the fire that we want. Well, they think it's a fire anointing and power of God. Well, we see in the scriptures, Elijah, it was judgment that Elijah called down upon them. These people, these charismatics are literally calling down judgment upon themselves. They are begging for the baptism with fire to consume them in the lake of fire. That's what they're doing. And I feel it's important to expose this so people understand. So you understand very clearly why we stand against the charismatic movement and we stand against this false, wicked doctrine. You know, so you'll have to bear with me when we get to that point. But also, listen, remember Nadab and Abihu? Remember those guys? In Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 1, turn there. I want to show you this. This is the strange fire that they tried to offer, too. That they offered strange fire, and God had his own fire. And it wasn't good for them. Right? Wasn't a good experience for them. So, Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Right? That was offered. Okay, now watch this in verse number 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. That's not the fire you want. Strange fire, just like the charismatics teach. Strange fire. All right? That's what it is. All right. And listen, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 5. I wanted to just give you a few verses on with fire that talks about, because if you study that in the scriptures with fire, it's kind of interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 5. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Interesting, huh? The King James Bible never says a baptism of fire, but with fire. With fire is not the same as of fire, okay? With fire, very specific. So they are teaching of fire, not with fire. And they've built an entire false doctrine from changing words around. I watch videos, and usually it's always a lady that's up there talking about it. And she's always saying, let me tell you about the time that I was baptized with the baptism of fire. And she talks about how she had this power from here. It came from her womb down here, and it just rose up in her and everything else, which, by the way, is the same thing as a Kundalini spirit. It's the same thing as a Kundalini spirit. Go back and listen to the what I preached on the charismatic movement. But that's what it is. And they talk about that power that they got and that fire and that, and they had that fire and that anointing and everything else, and they could do all these things and all that stuff. And it is demonic. It's exactly what it is. So I'm going to read you some history of this. This is taken from wayoflife.org, but it's a good history that really nails this. The fire-baptized holiness movement, the Holiness Church, served as an important link in the chain that later produced the modern Pentecostal movement. By teaching that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was an experience of sanctification, they're talking about the baptism of fire, it laid the basic doctrinal premise of the latter movement. It is probable that Charles Parham, the man who initiated the Pentecostal revival in Topeka, Kansas in 1901, received from Irwin the basic idea of a separate baptism of fire, or the Holy Ghost, they called it, following sanctification. Indeed, for a time in 1899, Parham promoted the baptism of fire in his Apostolic Faith magazine, the Holiness Pentecostal Tradition, in page 59. So they say this baptism with fire. One of the distinctive teachings of the charismatic movement is the baptism by fire. Some Pentecostal groups have even named themselves such things as fire-baptized Holy Ghost people. Not what I would want to be called, right? Fire-baptized Holy Ghost people. We read of this in Karl Brumbach's History of the Assemblies of God. They say this: many shades of Protestantism lurked in the background of these men and women, but now they formed a sort of united denominations, fused by a baptism of fire into a single Pentecostal body, like a river, the early years of the Assemblies of God. This idea of being baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire is also seen in the titles of books about the Pentecostal movement, such as that of Catholic Ralph Martin, entitled Fire on the Earth, published in 1976. By the way, we're going to get to the Office of the Charismatic Catholics, that is an official office, okay, of Rome. And why? Where does it come from? Well, the Pope started it. They started it, right? Why? They started it for a reason. They had to infiltrate any Protestant denominations, and they wanted to use it and form a movement around it. And that's what they wanted to do. So they started this, the Latter Rain movement and everything else. They were all part of that. All these wicked CCM artists, all that stuff goes back to Rome. You can lay at the feet of Rome. It's all part of ecumenicalism. It's all part of the group. That's what it was for. Yep. Okay, so let's move on here. This idea of being baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire was seen there. The concept of being baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire comes from the prophecy of John in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We've already talked about that. We know that's not true. But thus the Pentecostals have taken this prophecy and applied it to themselves, saying that Christians were baptized with fire in the first century and that those of the 20th century need the same baptism of fire. What is wrong with this teaching? It is a teaching which, like many charismatic doctrines, ignores the context of the Scriptures and thus results in error. John the Baptist was speaking to the Jews when he quoted this prophecy, and those Jews which believed were indeed baptized with the Holy Spirit, right? That church was baptized on the day of Pentecost, we see that. But the baptism of fire is not a promise of blessing for the believer, but a warning of judgment for the unbeliever. John explains this in the following verse, whose fan is in his hand. We talked about that already. I don't need to go through that again. You understand that. This could not be clear that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a promise that was fulfilled, while the baptism with fire is a warning for the unbeliever and refers to the day when Christ will return and punish unbelievers. We talked about that. The idea of being baptized by the Holy Spirit in fire is all over their movement. Fire Baptized Holiness Association that was formed in 1895 in Lincoln, Nebraska by Benjamin Hardin Irwin. By 1898, it had grown into a national organization. Irwin was originally a Baptist preacher. And when Baptists go apostate, it gets bad. They always start a wicked movement that ends up destroying people. And they have the most powerful movements, too. And they end up destroying people. All right, Irwin was originally a Baptist preacher, but was converted to Wesleyan holiness theology. And began an intense study of the writings of John Wesley and his colleague John Fletcher. Irwin was impressed with Fletcher's doctrine that the believer needs three blessings: conversion, entire sanctification, and a baptism of burning love. Not a hunk of burning love. but a baptism of burning love. Yeah, he is in hell. Listen to Elvis. No, I'm not that old, man. What are you talking about? Don't admit that. Irwin sought these experiences and claimed that he had found them. He called the third, the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. He said this is obtainable by a definite act of appropriating faith on the part of the holy sanctified believer, and that the initial evidence of the reception of this experience is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. They also said that divine healing is in the atonement. Irwin's meetings were characterized by unruly phenomena such as screams, tongue speaking, trances, holy dances, holy laughs, and jerking. Vincent Sinan, Holiness Pentecostal Tradition, page 52. So these they had all the trances, the holy dances, the holy laughs, the jerking, and all that stuff that they were doing. Right? Right? So anyway, that's what they did. All right, next, I want to read you just the lyrics to a song called "Fire Fall Down" by Hillsong, Hillsong United. By the way, we'll be preaching against Hillsong April next month, sometime in April. All right, we'll be preaching against that CCM group there, and there are going to be a bunch of groups out there, and they're going to be at the XL Energy Center, and we'll be sure by the grace of God to be there and to preach outside of this. But Hillsong, very popular group now, supports homosexuality and everything else. All right, Hillsong song, "Because I know that you're alive, you came to fix my broken life, and I'll sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. You bought my life with the blood that you shed on the cross, when you died for the sins of men and you let out a cry, crucified, now alive in me. These hands are yours, teach them to serve as you please, and I'll reach out desperate to see all the greatness of God. May my soul rest assured in you, I'll never be the same. No, I'll never be the same, because I know that you're alive. You came to fix my broken life, and I'll sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ. You changed it all, you broke down the wall. When I spoke and confessed in you, I'm blessed now. I walk in the light, in victorious sight of you. I'll never be the same. No, I'll never be the same." So he goes down and keeps saying the same thing over and over again. And here we go in the next verse. He says, your fire fall down on us, we pray, as we seek. Your fire fall down on us, we pray, as we seek. Your fire fall down on us, we pray. Doesn't it sound like a chanting, it means literally over and over again, as we seek? And that's what they do, and you're going to see it. That's very popular. Remember that weird charismatic guy, the Swifter, a.k.a. the Swifter. Remember him? He was Swifting. Yeah, this guy. He kept yelling out, "Holy Ghost!" And he kept yelling that out, and he was doing all this weird stuff and going, "Whoa, whoa," like this, and doing all this weird, weird moves. And he was touching people with his Bible and holding it back and doing all. Why was he doing that? He's going to follow what you're going to see. He's going to follow that. That's what he's following, is that Pentecostal, that charismatic movement. He's following the same things that they do, the chanting, the repetitive chanting over and over again, the repeating of the same words. Are you getting it to work or no? Oh, okay. Yep. USB display is what it says there. I don't know if you can see it. You're on USB right there. I don't know if you have to, what you're on before. I don't know. Anyway, you can figure that out. But I'll stay out of the way so you can read that. But they chant that over and over again. Your fire fall down on us, we pray. Show me your heart. Show me your ways. Show me your glory. And they just repeat the same things over again. And then they say again, fire fall down, fire fall down, fire fall down, fire fall down, over and over again. That's what they do. That song was written by Matt Crocker. Not to be confused with Betty Crocker. Okay? Anyway, so I'll keep going because I got a little ways to go here. And if you can keep working on that. I don't know what's going on with it. Does it need to be reset or something, maybe? Okay. Well, there's another charismatic Bob Jones. Has anybody ever heard of him? Not Bob Jones, the university, but a charismatic Bob Jones. Have you heard of him? Okay, Nate's heard of Bob Jones. Okay. He says this on his "This baptism of fire means that plagues and viruses cannot cling to it. No demonic control can survive around it, and the enemy cannot trouble you. See how they trick people into calling down devils upon them? See how they trick them into getting into demonic stuff and not having the power? None of that's the power of God. They want to keep you, they want to keep people away from the word of God because that's where the power is. Okay, he says this baptism of fire will bring in holiness, and holiness is one of the main words this year. He had this vision where holiness is the main word. I wish he actually believed it. God is a holy God, and when we are consumed by this baptism of fire, anything unholy that comes into our presence will not be able to stand. The power of this consuming fire will cause demons to flee and sickness, disease, infirmities, and plagues to die instantly. There will be no question that the power of God is resident in his people. Do you see the perversion? Yeah. Right. Now let's try another guy, for Joseph Smith. Mormon Joseph Smith. He had the baptism of fire too. Old Joey. Pervert. Joseph Smith. Well, he was a witch. So we've already proven that Joseph Smith was a high-level witch. And he's doing the same thing. That's right. He had a talisman. He had everything he needed, right? All right. Joseph Smith said, the baptism of water without the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost attending it is of no use. They are necessarily and inseparably connected. Said that in the history of the church. He said this, I want to talk to you about the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. I also want to talk to you about angels. I bet you do. When they were all baptized and had come, this is in 3rd Nephi, 1913. Nephi, is that what it is? Who cares? Doesn't matter, right? 3rd Nephilim, I don't know, but anyway. Right, who cares? When they were all baptized and had come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So he taught the same thing. An excerpt from another verse teaches that this will come if it be so that you believe in Christ and are baptized first with water, then with fire and with the Holy Ghost, following the example of our Savior. When was Jesus baptized with fire? An excerpt from another verse teaches, wrong one. Again, there are two parts of baptism, he says, baptism by water and baptism by fire, or the Holy Ghost. If you separate the two, as the prophet Joseph Smith said, it is but half a baptism. Catholic, okay, now we're going to move on to the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office. That's right. How many of you push, he says this, how many of you push the snooze button regularly when the alarm goes off? Elijah, from the first reading, he says in August 9th, page 2, is walking in the, Elijah is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a prophet of fire who does amazing things. He controls the weather. He took on 450 prophets of Baal. No problem. He lived off miraculous food. But there's something about him in fire. The New Testament says that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have the baptism in water, but Jesus also talks about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit typically comes through laying on of hands and of prayers. And this person is seeking that and are hungering for it. And with that comes charisma and gifts. But there is a third, and that is the baptism of fire. They are meant to be an unfolding, one leading to another. So he's saying you have to have that baptism of fire. And there are certain characteristics of each. Baptism of fire is about consuming. Yes, it is. It consumes away everything, not what he's saying it is. It consumes away everything that hinders perfect union with God. And the fire usually uses external and internal means. It eradicates fear, lust, immoderate anger, speech that is impure or unholy or overly righteous. Overly righteous? How could you have speech that is overly righteous? Okay, that's weird. Divisions in relationships and brings reconciliation. The fire is consuming when the saint enters into the baptism of fire. This is what happens. They begin to long to live a more ascetical life, giving up sacrifices daily, not just once a week. Now listen to this. Saint Teresa made thousands of sacrifices given every month because love was the motive and fire that burned within, took everything away that hindered her from perfect union. All right, so here's what he says. Listen to this, the charismatic renewal. Listen to what he says. Elijah may be a good patron for us. for the baptism of fire. For those who want to be more purified, ask Elijah to pray for you. For those who want relationships restored and burn away everything that hinders us, ask Elijah to pray for you. See that? Ask him to pray for you. Yep. But anyway, so you can see what they believe about the baptism of fire. This is what they believe. This is what they hold to. Is this baptism with fire what we want? Absolutely not. Are we going to be able to get that going or no? Is it messing up? It won't turn on or what? This unit won't turn on or it won't pull up? Won't catch over there? Let's see. Let's see. No signal. Does something have to be on? Is it connected to your computer? Everything's connected through USB? You might want to unplug it and plug it to the wire back in. Did you try that already? Okay. Well, anyway, I was going to show you a video here, but we can't get it running here. But it was only a few minutes long. But what it did show you was a lady named Heidi Baker and a movement that they have that she does. And basically, it's calling down fire. And you can see the reaction. These people literally, they have young people that they coerce into this movement. And young people, Samuel's age there. And here's a man that they are just basically putting hands on. And they are, and she is calling down fire. And these kids are just like, they are acting like, literally like bacon frying. They are literally acting like they are frying and their hands are like burning and they're rubbing their hands on here like they're actually burning. And she's saying things like impartation, impartation, impartation. And she's going through there and these kids are actually squirming around and they look like they're actually in pain of fire. They are literally looking like they are on fire. Okay, and they probably are because they're getting devils imparted unto them because none of them are saved. None of them are protected by the Holy Ghost. They're doing slaying people in the spirit and they're doing all these other things. And what you can see is they're calling down this fire and they're calling it down on them. And literally, I believe she is giving incantations and everything. She's spelling and everything else like that. And she's actually calling it down. And you're watching it literally as they squirm and they go through those things. You are seeing it. And that's what they believe. That is what they do. And that's what they believe the baptism with fire is, or of fire they call it. They believe it's a special anointing. I believe they're just marking themselves for hell is all they're doing. You know, they're just sort of marking themselves for that. So it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. And if anybody ever tells you that you need to be baptized with fire, you tell them, no, we don't need to be baptized with fire. That's hell. That's the judgment of God. That's the lake of fire. And you need to be able to rightly divide these baptisms, okay? The doctrine of baptisms and understand them. And I think today we have enough evidence that we can see. We have enough evidence that we can see that we understand the baptism with fire and what that is. We can see if it'll work here just for a second, see if we can get it going. If not, that's okay. It's all right. The main importance is the teaching that we just gave you and everything else. That's the main importance anyway. You doctrinally understand this and you can see it. I know one thing, he can get the video. He'll put the video and add it. He can add it to online there and everything like that. It's not really that important that you see that, but I just wanted to, if it was possible, to show you that. But we'll work on that some other time and make sure. But I want you to understand that that's strange fire, and that's absolutely wicked, and we don't want anything to do with that. We don't want to be a part of any of that. And if anybody ever tells you that or tries to, you don't let the one thing these Pentecostal, these charismatic people want to do, they always want to put their hands on you. Don't let them touch you. Don't let these people put their hands on you. They always want to touch you. They want to touch your forehead. They want to anoint you. They want to, let me just pray with you and put my hands. No, don't put your hands on me. Don't touch me. All right, don't let them touch you. They want to impart something on you. And that's what they're admitting it, impartation. She says it over and over again in the video. And then fire, fire, fire. And the more she says fire, the more these kids are just like squirming around. I saw one video, I think it was in like Africa or India or I don't know where it was, maybe not somewhere or Germany or some other country. I can't remember where it was exactly. I saw a bunch of them. But in that video, There's an evangelist, and what he's doing is he's supposed to be an evangelist, but he's up there preaching, so to speak. But they don't, you know, these people don't preach. They just stand up and talk, but they don't preach any Bible. But they're up there, and what they're doing is he's like, you could see his face is all red. And he's like, look, she's getting the anointing and the fire. And he's like, and he's looking, his face is all beat red. He looks like he's got a bunch of devils in him, and he's like putting his hands on these girls, and they're just flopping around. They're being immodest and everything else like that. And I wasn't going to show you that, obviously, but they're being immodest and everything like that. And then this girl comes up that he's already imparted a bunch of devils to, and she's like 12 or 13 years old. And she comes up and she's putting her hands on this so-called prophet, and she's like imparting something, and she's speaking in tongues in this absolute crazy devil-possessed rage as she's just babbling on and on and on, and has her hands on this man, and she is just like basically falling to the ground and just like losing it over this guy. And this is what they believe. This is the power of God. That's what they believe. These people are deceived. And don't let these charismatic people call themselves Christians in your presence. If they believe these things, you rebuke them sharply. You rebuke them sharply and say, no, if you believe that garbage, you're not my brother. Unless you repent of that stuff, you are definitely not my brother. And we will not tolerate that. We don't want any part of it. Okay. And that's another thing on the street, guys. If these charismatic guys ever come and they want to follow us, you just tell them, no, we don't want you following us. You're not of us. You're not with us. You're not a part of us. Because that kid the other day that did that out on the street, he ended up, you know, standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful, and he was trying to root up seeds. That's right. He was taking our tracks. He's probably over there smoking weed. He was doing all kinds of stuff, smoking cigarettes and siding with the wicked and the infidels. You know, he was siding with them. So we don't want to have any part of those people. We want to sharply rebuke them. Bible says even if they claim to be saved, rebuke them sharply. They may be sound in the faith. So maybe they are, but they need to repent of that. I know people that came out of those movements, but they need to repent of it, and they did repent of it, and they understand it. Right. Right, exactly. So, I mean, we need to be sure and be strong about that and not compromise that. I'm not preaching with a bunch of those tongue-speaking, charismatic, crazy people. I'm not preaching with them. They're not coming around us. We don't want them around us because they got another spirit. They got another spirit, and they need to repent of it or they stay away from us. Because everyone I've ever seen ends up turning on us, and you know, they end up turning on us and siding with the world. And when you know what spirit they're of when they do that very clearly, you know, because all the rebels get together just like Jesus. And when Herod and was it Herod and Pilate? What happened? Then they were enemies until the day they both came after Christ. Then they were best friends, man. They were buddies then. That's how it goes on the street. Right. Man, they'll turn on you. And they'll be buddies. They could be mortal enemies. It could be the KKK and Black Lives Matter. But I'll tell you what, they'd gang up on us. They'd gang up and go against us. They'd work together. That's exactly what they would do. I'm telling you, we've seen it, man. Seen it. So. Right. Right, exactly. And they're enemies, but they would do that. Why? Because Psalm 2 talks about it, right? They're all against God. Right? That's right. So anyway, I hope that gives you an understanding of the baptism with fire, and praise the Lord for that, and that we learn these things, and we'll talk about baptism with the Holy Spirit and other things here in the weeks to come as we rightly divide and go through all this doctrine of the local church, of the church, and understanding these matters that are very important, the body of Christ, and all these other things we're going to go through, and study ourselves to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. So let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, thank you for the fact that we can go through the scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept. Lord, we can study them. And we can be approved of you, Lord, and we can know the truth, and the truth does make us free. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.